I wondered this morning how quick you are at getting ready. Are you someone who plans ahead? Do you lay out the school uniforms or the work outfit the night before? Or do you just pull on whatever you grab first in the morning? Do you have a carefully planned out waking up routine? Is there a set order, a timetable for getting out the door in the morning? When I was growing up in the Stott family home, there was a careful balance to organise the chaos in the morning, with everyone needing to get through the shower and out the door on time for school and work. There was a carefully calculated schedule with a 15-minute time limit on how long you could spend in the bathroom. And if you were going over your shower allocated time, you want to bet one of my sisters would be knocking at the door. See, every one of us would take a shot on taking the earliest time. And you knew once a week you would get the last shower time slot. So you would need to make sure you'd done everything else before you got in the shower to ensure that you got out the door on time to make it to school. It was absolute chaos, but it was also scheduled and organised. But only those part of the system would probably have been able to see there was logic in the madness. If anyone slept in or overspent their time, everything was knocked out. Preparation and being ready were key. Sleep and not being ready were potential disasters. But when it worked as it should, we all got to school and work on time. How have those of you who have been working from home found it this year? Has your getting ready for work schedule been altered? Has your work attire changed? Have you, if you're being honest, attended some of your meetings with your camera off because you hadn't done your makeup, or you were dressed a lot more casual than what you would have been if you'd had to go in to work? Our patterns, our behaviours, our routines are affected by the circumstances we find ourselves in. And today in 1 Thessalonians, Paul has a lot to say about how we are to live as followers of Jesus in anticipation for Christ's return. How are we to get prepared today for how we are going to spend the rest of eternity? In a chaotic and confusing world, how are we to put in place routines and practices that point to the reality that God is our Saviour and we are His children? How we live matters. How are we to follow God faithfully today in a world of disruption and uncertainty, knowing that the God who knows us, who loves us, is one day returning to put everything right? How do we live distinctively today in light of eternity with Jesus? Now today, we find ourselves for the last time, at least for now, back in Paul's first letter to the church in Thessalonica. This letter, one of Paul's first, written to the church from up the road in Corinth, to encourage them, to remind them, to correct some misinformation that was circulating in Thessalonica about Paul and his ministry, but also to correct or reassure the Thessalonians about some fears that were growing around the end times or what would happen when Christ returns. Now, last week, Paul focused in chapter 4 on the hope of eternal life with Jesus, that all who die in Christ rest in his arms, that we will all be with Jesus forever, and we could trust our future to the one who died and rose again so that we might live forever. But today, Paul wants to focus us in chapter 5 on how we are to live in the present, in the light, yes, of eternity with Jesus. Paul wants us to see that how we live matters. That we are called as followers of Jesus to live distinctively, to pursue holiness, to live in the light whilst we reside in a world of darkness. That we are to be alert and awake, inhabiting the world differently and joining in with God's rescue plan for the world. Not just sitting back with our feet up waiting for the time to come that we might play the great Christianity get out of jail card. We're called not to sleepwalk our way into all of eternity, but to wake up, to live in light of eternity today. Hey, let's jump into our passage together and see what God might want to say to each of us this morning. Now, last week we saw that we needed to get ready, to not miss out on what was to happen. And Paul starts chapter 5 by reminding us that the day and time of Christ's coming back is unknown. It's not a quiz or a riddle that can be figured out, although many have wasted their lives trying to do so, looking for every turn or twist in history and pointing to it as one of the great signs. But Scripture tells us the time of Christ coming again is known only to God. Paul gives us two metaphors of what the day of Christ's return will be like. Look with me. First of all, he says, the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. There'll be no notice given. You know, what thief lets the homeowner know when the burglary will happen? If we knew when the thief was coming round, we'd be waiting ready to stop them. We'd have called the police in advance. But no, instead, a burglar comes without notice, catches the person unaware. So too, Paul says, Christ will come like a thief in the night. We, though, in Scripture, have some warning. Will we choose today to get our houses in order that we will be ready for his return? Secondly, Paul says, Christ's return will be like labour pains that come upon a pregnant woman when the time for her the birth is due. Now, labour is to be expected. It's part of giving birth. Inevitable, but not necessarily predictable or on the schedules we might like to make. I'm sure we have all made guesses at when a friend or a family member will come on time of the due date. Yes, expectant mums can make a birthing plan, but there's still lots of uncertainties to come. A theologian, Leith Samuel, said, if there is one thing certain about the timing of the Lord's return, it is this, that we cannot be certain of the timing. However, although we don't know when, we can get ready so that we are not caught out or unaware of what is to come. We've been told Christ will come again. Will we choose to hear the warning and respond with preparation? Or will we hear and put off the things of God in order to pursue our own wishes or the wants of the world? Now, when I was at university, a very dear friend of mine who isn't a Christian said to me, Amy, I really love that you have this God that you believe in that gives you some hope. And one day I would like to know a bit more about him. Young, enthusiastic Amy was excited to have that conversation. We can talk about him now. What do you want to know? She said to me, can we have the conversation in 10 years? I said, why? She said, because I've got other things I want to do first. I've got my own plans for jobs and relationships. I just don't want your God getting in the way. I was like, but what if we don't have this chat in 10 years? And she was like, I'll take the chance. Hey, I'm still praying for opportunities to share. But let's not delude ourselves that we can put off these conversations. Let's not let the things that we envision for what is important in our life stop us from making plans and preparations, for letting God have the seat on our hearts. We like to think that we've got all of eternity, our whole lives to think about this, to do what we want first and then put in order our relationship with the Lord. Don't be like my friend. What if we don't have the opportunity to have that conversation later? Let's get our lives, our walks with God in order. Let's not put off thinking about the eternal because we are distracted by the instant or the latest demand of the world. Let's choose to live in light of eternity starting today. Let's fix up our homes to deter the thief and prepare now for life forever with Jesus. Let's not put off in case God doesn't allow us the time to prioritise him and his plans for our lives. Paul says we are children of the light who will not be surprised on the day of God's coming, for we'll have listened to the warnings of Scripture, for we are not of the darkness or the night. As Christians, we are to live in the light, eyes wide open, awake to the reality of God's goodness in the world and living in light of eternity with him forever. We're not groping around in the dark of the world, trying to find hope or purpose in the wrong places, but instead we are called to stand in the light of Christ, to rest in the hope he brings, and seek to live for his purposes, our good and his glory each day. We're called not to sleepwalk our way through life, hoping to somehow avoid the boredom and the tediousness that seems to pervade our culture. But instead, we are called to be awake to the invitation to live life in all its fullness and God's freedom today. Paul says we are to be awake. We're to be sober-minded, not taken up in the highs and lows of life, but clear-minded and alert, not misbehaving under the cover of darkness, but living out our lives in the light of the day. But Paul also says we are to armour up. Look with me. He says, put on the breastplate of faith and love and your helmet, which is the hope of salvation. Now, we met this trio of characteristics for Christian living back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul called us there to works of faith, labours of love, and to be steadfast in hope. And now today he reminds us again, put on the breastplate of faith and love, the helmet of hope, in order that you might be able to navigate the fights of this world, the battles for our hearts and our minds today. Are you wearing the helmet of hope? Is it guarding your mind, protecting you from the despair, the anxiety, the struggles of this world? Or are you fighting the ways of the world in your own strength? Instead, why don't we rest in the hope of our salvation? Because we can know hope yesterday, today, and forever. For God's work of salvation is freeing us from sin. In the past, when you first said yes to Jesus, you were at that point saved from the guilt and penalties of sin. Today, we are living with Jesus, saved from the power and pollution of sin. And in the future, we will be saved from the very presence of sin when Christ returns and we live with him forever. You know, life is tough, but we place our hope in the promise-keeping God who will return. And one day, sorrow and pain and sickness and death will be no more. God provides us his children with armour, but also with the promises of Scripture, that on the hilltops and in the deepest valleys, he is with us. Paul says we are not destined for wrath, but instead for salvation, because it's all about what Jesus has done at Calvary, not about the wrong things we do, whether we're awake or asleep, says Paul. We live eternally with Jesus. As Paul will write elsewhere in Scripture, in Romans, nothing can separate us from the love of God, not death, nor life, nor sin, nor pasts. We rest in God's love and stand on his merits, not ours. Why does Paul write this section of 1 Thessalonians? Well, like last week, he says it's for our encouragement. The truths revealed are to build us up. We are to share them with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Hey, life is tough, but we will be with Jesus forever. Look, today is difficult, but have you put your armour on? The world is dark, but we are in the light. We're not asleep to get a rude awakening, but we are wide awake to the ways of the Lord in full knowledge that the struggles of today won't last forever. Jesus is coming back. We will spend eternity with him. So how in light of that are we to live today? Do we just put our feet up and wait it out? No. Jesus gives each of us a task to be getting on with today and every day till he returns. Let's look at our gospel reading together. Now, Jesus is talking in Matthew chapter 25. We see him continue with his parables on being ready for his return. But instead, this time, there's a focus, like in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, on how we are to live as followers of Jesus as we wait. Jesus tells the story of a landlord who is going away for a time, but who entrusts his property to some of his servants. To person A, the master gives 5 talents. Talents is an amount of money. To person A, the master gives 5 talents. To person B, the master gives 2 talents. And to person C, just 1 talent. The talent was a sum of money, an investment, a deposit given to each servant to look after, to steward, to use wisely whilst the master was away. And we see different responses to what each man has been given. Person A, who was given 5 talents, straight away goes and trades them in, invests them, and doubles the landlord's money. The second man also doubles his 2 talents, leaving 4. However, the third man, let's call him person C, who is given just 1 talent, has a different response. He chooses to dig a hole to put his 1 talent in the ground. He chooses to play it safe and sees no return on his gift. After some time, Jesus says, the landowner returns and wants to know what progress has been made on his talents. The master is delighted that the ones who were given 5 and 2 talents have doubled their investments. The landowner calls them faithful, and there is a promise that they will be trusted with more since they proved themselves faithful with what they had. However, the one who was given 1 talent and who chose to bury it rather than use it and grow the investment is met by an entirely different response. He, when called forward by the master, says he knew the master to be a hard man, which he says made him afraid to use the talent, and so he hid it. He just wants to give back to the landowner that which was his to begin with, the 1 talent. The landowner is furious. He gave him an investment, a talent, and it has not been used as it was intended. The 1 talent is taken from the servant and given to the man who had been given 5. And this third man, person C, is kicked out of the house. It's an intense story. But what might Jesus want to reveal to us today through it? Well, God entrusts all of us with an investment, a gift, a talent, a purpose, a story to share, an impact to make in this world. The question for all of us, though, is will we be faithful to our absent master as we anticipate his return? How will we all choose to use the gifts and talents God has given us? Will we be like person A and person B, who use what God has given them to see blessings and gifting and usefulness for God grow? Or will we be like person C and hide the hope and purpose and life God has given to you? Will you keep it to yourself, bury it in the ground, and just expect to give God back his gift unused and untouched at the end of history? I find it really interesting that what stops person C doing anything with his 1 talent is what he claims he has heard about his master's character. He said, look with me, I knew you to be a hard man. I wonder, does a wrong idea about who God is or what he asks of you affect the way you live out your faith today? You see, for person C, the wrong attitude about God results in an excuse for disobedience to his calling. The disobedience of the servant then made him distort who his master was in order to create the excuse for why he sat on his talent and did not use it as his master intended. If we're honest, can we be guilty of sometimes doing the same? Do you count yourself saved and then sit back, wait it out? No intention of sharing your reason for hope and peace with the world. Do you know what gifts and talents God has blessed you with in order to play your part in transforming the world around us? Do you want to play your part in redeeming the world? Or are you content to sit on the sidelines, watch on, get bored, and not really live life as God purposed you to do so? Person A and B invested their God-given talents and were praised for doing so. They were then given more because they proved themselves faithful with God's resources. Person C kept what he had been given to himself, wasted the potential, leaving the master frustrated. Who do you want to be like today? How can we already live as God intends? Let's not sit back on our hands. Instead, let's step up. Let's get involved and let's change this world together as we wait for Christ's return. So how are we living today? Is it clear we're children of God? Is it clear you're a child of the day? Are you alert and sober-minded? Or are you asleep and sleepwalking your way through life here, but completely missing out on life in all its fullness? Is Jesus' return going to catch you out, unprepared? Are you living today in light of eternity? Or are you wasting the gifts and opportunities God has placed into your hands? Are you just stumbling about from day to day? Or are you living each day with purpose? As if God gifted you each day of your life, uniquely created you to be part of his story. Are you settling for mediocrity when God created you to shape up and bring his purposes today? Who is God bringing you into contact with? Are you using the opportunities, both good and bad, to point others to the reality of a God who loves them and is with them and for them? Who today can you share your story with? I also wonder, though, what you're doing with your God-given potential. What talents has God blessed you with, and what are you doing with them? Now, perhaps some of us don't know what our gifts or talents are. Why not ask those around you what gifts they see in you? Why not pray that God makes it clear for you how he wants you to serve him this week? Now, there's a real danger a lot of the time that we are so busy getting jealous at what God has gifted others that we fail to see our own unique gifts and calling that God has placed on all our lives. Person A, with their 5 talents, put them into practice and quickly grew in stature and acquired more. Person C sat on their 1 talent, buried it, hoped to not miss out. His negative mindset of his master and towards potential opportunity meant the talent was wasted and taken from him. What are you hiding from the world that God gave you to bless others? Where do you need to pray for courage to step out, to be bold in order to bless others this week and in the days to come? Who here has a testimony to share of God's goodness, which might be exactly what someone else needs to hear? What praise are you keeping in your own mouth rather than sharing with the world? What test has God helped you to conquer, but you haven't yet shared the testimony to encourage someone who might be exactly where you were 6 weeks ago, 6 months ago, a year ago, 6 years ago? What talents, what testimonies, what stories has God given you? How are you sharing them with the world around you? But lastly, let me really hone in on what our attitude is towards the future. Do we know the rock-solid certainty that comes from faith in Jesus Christ? Do you know that even if we don't know what tomorrow or next week holds, we know what the final destination is? Do you know that on Christ, the solid rock, you stand? Do you know there's a room in heaven with your name on it? If you know Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, your place in the Father's house is guaranteed. He who died and rose again obtained our salvation for us, as Paul writes in this chapter of 1 Thessalonians. It's about what Jesus has done. It's grounded in God's activity on our behalf. All we come with is our faith. We put our trust and our hope in him, and then we stand secure in him. Our destiny is secure because it doesn't rest on how good we are or not making more mistakes, but instead it rests on how good God is. It's not our perfection that counts, it's Jesus's. Whether we are awake or asleep, we live with Christ forever because Christ on the cross declared, "It is finished." You are loved and known eternally. because the King of Kings looks at you and says, it is so. This week, will we remember daily to put on the breastplate of faith and love? Will we put on in each moment of each day the helmet of hope to fight back against the challenges that lie ahead, the lies we will have to block out in order to hear the peace, the hope, and the purposes God speaks over all of our lives? We will be with the Lord forever. Will we choose to start living in light of forever today? Step into freedom. Live in hope. Stand on the truths of the gospel. You are known, called by name, loved by your Heavenly Father, created for a purpose, and uniquely gifted to help transform the world. So today, will you get up off the sidelines, join in instead with God's rescue plan for the world? One day, Jesus is coming back. We don't know when, but we know it's happening. Let's not wait on the sidelines, waiting and wasting our potential. But let's join in. Use the gifts and stories God has given us to seek to play our part in the restoration of all things. Are you all in for Jesus? Are you ready to play your part?